Of course, every Monday at 8:50, it is the Connecticut Business Blend, and we always catch up with Greg Bordinaro, who runs the show over there. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good, Brian. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Yeah, things are good. So we talk so much about, on this show, especially about the housing issue and, you know, the projects come online, offline. We don't know what's going to get developed, what's not going to get developed, but we know that, there's definitely not enough housing in Connecticut. And so you're telling me that tiny houses are the solution or potentially helping with the problem?
Yeah, so there's this new startup company based out of Norwalk called Contemporary Tiny Homes, founded by this guy named Bruno Neri. He's a former Wall Street banker, saw the opportunity in the housing market, with the housing market shortage in Connecticut and elsewhere. And, you know, he's not just building any types of homes. So there are tiny homes, otherwise known as accessory dwelling units, which is basically an accessory dwelling unit is a secondary small home built within a single family home property with a home that already exists there. Now, these homes have not really taken off in Connecticut yet. There's a few reasons for it. Connecticut in 2021 actually tried to broaden access to these types of homes by passing a law that would require municipalities to allow these ADUs by right, which means you wouldn't have to get a public hearing or a special permit to have these on your property. Problem is, most of the towns and cities opted out of that law, which is kind of funny that they would get the opt-out clause there. So, what's the point of the law in the first place? And so most cities and towns are creating their own regulations around these. There's some that are outright banning these, like in West Haven, Waterbury, Norwalk, Danbury. Other towns are allowing them and putting their own restrictions on. Bruno Neri thinks that these things are going to start to gain in popularity given Connecticut's housing crisis. And in particular, people will add these to their houses for several reasons. Actually, some people will build them on their property as a rental property. So, they'll rent it out to somebody else. Maybe they'll do it to have their adult parents or a older adult child near them. Other people are even thinking about buying one or building one of their property. They'll move into the smaller house and they'll have rent out their larger house if they want to maintain their original home.
I mean, the downside is that people just don't want more people living in already tight lots and stuff. Like, what's the?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. It's the same type of NIMBYism. We looked at a couple of studies. Most studies indicate that if you build this secondary home in your property, it helps property values overall, or it doesn't impact them that much. There was one study that says that these increase in ADUs could potentially negatively impact property values around there. So there's always the NIMBYism debate, and or not in my backyard debate, and what is the overall impact on the community and property prices.
The authorities waiting for you in the background?
Yeah, it looks like we have a fire alarm in our office here, but they're doing work on the building, so I'm sure it's fine.
Okay, well, if you need to go, just let us know.
No, we're good.
We've seen what the Trump administration, its approach to DEI and other things, and a lot of companies are trying to react. What about companies here in Connecticut, and what are some of the things that they're doing?
Yeah, so there's been a couple of executive orders on DEI. The Trump administration is not a big fan of diversity, equity, inclusion. A lot of the executive orders have focused on the federal workforce, but there's also some that will potentially impact the private workforce. And so we talked to some legal experts about what are they hearing from clients. They're getting a lot. First of all, they're getting a lot of phone calls from companies that have DEI policies. I think DEI policies are definitely in a large large corporations, a lot of them have installed DEI policies. The small to mid-sized guys, I think, small to mid-sized businesses, I think it's a mixed bag. I think a lot of small businesses, they're just looking to survive every day. I don't know that they have a ton of DEI policies. Mid-sized businesses, it could be more of a mix. So what legal experts are basically saying is that, you don't necessarily have to scrap all your DEI policies. The big thing you got to worry about is if you have anything that looks like affirmative action where you're having quotas, you need to fill a certain amount of positions by this particular person, whatever their background might be, that would definitely be found to be illegal. That's kind of the big distinction. And so you could still have diversity policies where you're trying to you're going to different pools of labor. Maybe you're going to historically black colleges to recruit where you didn't in the past. That kind of a thing should be fine still. Or maybe you're trying to change the educational requirements. You say your job requires a at least a bachelor's degree. Some companies have rethought about that. Do you really need a bachelor's degree for this type of job? That type of change, if you've made that in the last few years, would still be fine, according to the legal experts that we talked to.
We're talking with Greg Bordonaro from the Hartford Business Journal, and it's the Connecticut Business Blend every Monday at 8:50 here on Brian and Company. By the way, just tell people, what is the Connecticut Convention and Sports Bureau? What does it do? And then it might it go away?
Yeah, so the Convention and Sports Bureau basically is part of the Department of Economic and Community Development, and it's a small five-person agency or group within DECD that they go out into the marketplace and try to recruit both business meetings and conventions and also things like big sporting events to Connecticut. It grew out of an organization that used to just focus on Hartford, and now it focuses on statewide. So you're talking about it represents like the casinos and things like that and all the different venues around Connecticut. And so Governor Lamont, two-year $55.2 billion budget that he proposed in February would eliminate about $500,000 in funding from the state's tourism budget. And as part of that cut, the Sports Bureau would go along with it. It would basically go out of business. They claim that they've helped bring in about 250 to 260 new events annually. And last year, they claimed to have a $72 million economic impact in 2024. What venues are worried about is, okay, if the Sports Bureau or the Convention Bureau goes away, who's out there representing all these different facilities out in the national marketplace to try to get these meetings here? Could be argued that the individual event venue should do that on their own. Maybe the casinos have that type of money, but a lot of the smaller to mid-sized venues don't necessarily have that money. So that's where the debate sort of lies.
Copy that. Thank you, Greg. We appreciate the insight, as always. Have a great week.
All right. Thanks, Brian.